Miss Gail, I hear that there's a sale of $1.2 billion between the Canadian company and the Barbadian company. You heard of it?
Yes.
I heard a couple of persons that should have more experience than I or know more, giving me the impression that this is one of the best things that happened to Barbados at this time. It can help the foreign reserves. Can you help me out? It can help it?
You didn't hear what the gentleman said? You didn't hear what he said, Mr. Stevens? Stephen? Jeremy Stephen?
No, he's confusing. I heard him. And I heard Mr. Tate. I will let you know that you have ideas of these things. Now, a private company is selling to a foreign investor.
Mm.
Can you tell me or help me how that is going to boost foreign reserves? Help me.
So he didn't say, as he said, because you're saying he was confusing. He said that the sale itself...
Me not confused. Confusing me, they confusing everybody. I don't know.
Okay.
Confusing to me.
Right. So he talked about the sale and the result of the sale and those dividends coming to Barbados, which is in foreign exchange. But by the sale...
Let me... Give me an idea. Because I think these folks that they school on...
I got a question for you, though. How do you feel having Saul not been sold before, just like one of our previous callers?
Listen, that is political.
Not whether it should have been, but I mean now that it wasn't sold, and Saul now has had this relationship now with.
So why is it unfortunate in buying it taken over, not sold, taken over? Why you mean it was planning to take over from the government? You mean that? I never know that was for sale. This is the first time I know that was for sale.
You're being facetious.
We sold it. Did it be sold before?
Let me let you wrap up because as we go to the lunchtime later.
We've got a nice conversation.
No,
with
but
this
we.
This company that now sold their business to the Canadian company was up for sale before?
No. Who said that?
No, you asked me about the sale.
You know good well that I'm speaking about the BNTC sale.
Yes, but that was something they were trying to take over the business there. It's nothing to do with...
To take over? Strong
from the government, yes. They were trying to... The government
purchase.
Purchase.
Right, so my question to you is, how do you feel now that that was unsuccessful and the same larger company Saul has a relationship with Parkland?
Because what I'm saying is, to ask me a question like that, how do you expect me to know? Because what I'm saying is, we don't know the transactions that went on. You don't know if the company get frustrated, so I wanted this and I wanted that and I done with this thing moving on. Because if you follow and listen to the business transaction with that, this company ain't gonna lose nothing. First thing, the whole world for 25%. One way.
Right, but yeah, you're asking me how is it advantageous to Barbados?
No, to us. I'm talking about the citizen. I call his name now. I'm not talking about the person who stole it. I want to know how it's gonna help all foreign reserves when it's a private person that owns it.
Okay.
I know that there's some sort of tax transactions that they will go on, and some money will definitely get into foreign reserves. Or the tax office. But I want to know what is this big hullabaloo. we did it in record time. And this is the final one that I gave you now. Now that we have done it in record time.
Okay. The music tells us that we have to go.
We have
to respect the radio station and its time specifications. I'm going to thank you for your call so far. We're going to move on to the latest. This has been Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. There was actually an article in the back of the Nation Today that speaks to the human rights of those Indian students that have been denied an opportunity for a university degree. And then on the prior week, there was an article about Sunday, actually, the pensioner who would have invested over $170,000, then who is not going to have access to his principal at any time soon, and he, wants to finish his house, etc. And I was trying to judge against the two, And I think while we have sympathy for the students, actually should have sympathy for both, or empathy for both, any pensioner would feel highly offended. It would really be regrettable that the government would be refunding a $30,000 amount to a student, and a pensioner not benefit from access to principal. So those are some hard decisions that have to be made. And what say you? This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hey, good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon. This voice sounds familiar.
Hey, how you doing? Jeremy Stephen here. How you
I'm
doing?
I'm doing well, Mr. Jeremy. Yourself?
Well, they started off well until, you know, a good few people found it necessary to humbug me about a reactionary statement made by the ambassador to the government, Dr. Clay Maskell, in response to an article written about, not Buddy, but about me, Barbados Today, a few days ago.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to use this forum mainly to respond to said statement, namely because I didn't think it was fair or would be fair if I responded just using the letter and using traditional media. Again, I figured as well I would not do like to like, but do where I have a little more impact, which is speaking about it. And also, just so if you had any questions in particular, within a minute or so, I could probably give my point of view according to that question. So
sure.
The response was very much about certain things that I was reputed to have said, you know, to have called the recent issue, this recent debt swap, as having crappy instruments. And no, I can't deny that I did not use the word crappy, but what I did say is crappy to the other alternatives that could have been available. I also note that the goodly ambassador, in his haste to somehow school me on something that I know a bit more about, he would have said that the time value of money with respect to these instruments was observed, and there's no way that could be true. You see, there's a few kinds of ways that you can do a debt exchange or some kind of refinancing. You can interfere with interest rates, that is, drop them or move them according to how you want to move them.
Before you go any further,
a
gentleman spoke today in response to another gentleman, another learned professor like yourself, Mr. Young. The guy was responding to Mr. Young, and he said he didn't understand a lot of things. He didn't follow. So time value of money. Please explain. You're talking about now vis-a-vis the access to it later.
No problem.
On. Yes.
All right, yeah, but you see, most people here, as I asked my students last night, actually, would they prefer, let's say you had a hat, Lisa, to sell to me. No, right? Because
yes.
I know you do some beautiful stuff when you're ready. And I offered to pay you, let's say, $1 for that hat. No. Versus if I offered to pay you $1 for that hat a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take the dollar now, or would you take it in a year's time?
I would take the dollar now.
Good. Now, watch it now. If it was certain that there were no other instruments you could invest in, let's say the only thing you had available to you was a bank account that was offering you something like, for argument's sake, 10% interest, right? So you could have taken that same dollar from me if I bought the hat today and invested it, and in a year's time you can get $1.10, right?
Yes.
Now, suppose I told you, sell that hat to me in a year, and I'll give you $1.50. Would you take the dollar? No, given that you could only invest it at 10%, or would you take the $1.50 from me in a year's time?
Given the variables and in terms of what's going on in the economy, I'll take the dollar now, and I'll lose my risk. I'll take that risk. Don't risk and get that $1.50 later.
Right. All right, good. So here's the thing. If it was certain that it was the 10% that you would get back your money at 10% in a year's time, and I was guaranteeing that I would give you 50 cents as opposed to you getting 10 cents from the bank in a year's time,
I would probably take the risk and get the 150.
And get the 150, exactly. So that's time value of money that you essentially compensate persons for having taken on the risk of storing money with you or investing money in a project that you have. So that's why interest is important, because there are other options that people can do with your money. They can spend it, they can save it. So you need to, if you're offering a debt instrument, pay people interest according to, or competitive interest, according to suitable and other competitive kinds of instruments. So if a bond is what they're paying 5%, and it's the only bond available, and you want to issue a bond, you better offer 5% or more to incentivize people to put money in there. So time value of money is that money must always have the same purchasing power going into the future. And how you do that, you compensate people via interest rates. So the time value of money argument that was made by the Goodley ambassador was a weak one, because essentially what factors into time value of money is, let's say for instance, that all these banks decided and financial institutions decided when times are good, we no longer want Barbados dollar debt. We want to sell it. You would sell it according to what the market perceives it to be valued, right? So if it was worth $90 for every $100, whatever the case is, you sell it at that. Anytime you move interest rates or you delay principal payment, you effectively render the value of those bonds to be much less than they were under better conditions. Now, one could argue that conditions were not better, but one could also argue that for a good 2 years, interest rates in Barbados, particularly on T-bills and other forms of debt, were hyperinflated. So the problem is that banks would have, on their balance sheets, factored in the value of this debt at a particular, under particular conditions. That is what interest rates were, and the timing of cash flows, that is, that cash was coming in at a particular time that they could expect. So you cannot do the number of things that the government did and say in all confidence that time value of money was adhered to or observed. It can't be. You effectively lessen the value of all this debt by pushing all your principal payments back 4 years to institutions and a year to pensioners, which is pensioners are what, a billion is so much or so was being restructured, but of the eight or so, or say 10 or so billion dollars in domestic debt that you got, the majority is owned by institutions, we effectively wiped off, my calculations were 30% of value, and that has an implied cost. So
that's the $500 million that was referred?
No, the $500 million is he was talking about the savings that they were getting from doing the exercise. So they're going to save $500 million on 10, but I believe it's actually much more. The best government savings, but these institutions are going to value this debt differently to government because they also lend to consumers and whatnot, and the economy is going down as we speak. So the actual savings to government might be 500, but the losses to the private sector are going to be much more. Okay. And so that's the thing that I found to be very interesting in the response, where there's this excuse about time value of money being adhered to. It was not. And that's something that the government of Barbados has to live with as they made the decision to restructure this debt by pushing principal back and also lowering interest rates. If you wanted to be smart about it, you could have done, and I guess this was done, I guess, so that the IMF could feel more comfortable about our seriousness to run a 6% primary surplus. But at the end of the day, the more desirable effect could have been either or. You stretch principles or you extend maturities. That is, you pay people what they're owed, but you don't wait a few years before you start paying people what they're owed, but you stretch it out for a bit longer. That reduces the value, but not as much as what the government is proposing by delaying or deferring payments years back. And also, you could have lowered interest rates back to what they should be on the local side. That is, interest rates in Barbados are low because there's so much liquidity in the banking system. So it would have made a little more sense to lower interest rates. That I have no issue with. Although, truly, our interest rates should have gone up because of our country risk. And all the downgrades that we had, they should have truly have gone up. So, nonetheless, if interest rates have fallen, you wouldn't be hearing nothing from me or as much from me. But when you delay principal, that has a lot more knock-on effect. Yeah, knock-on effect. So, like, for instance, I mean, I know you probably listen to me ever so often on Facebook. So from as far back as September, early September, we say the first thing you would hear is that the banks are going to pass on the fees. User fees would be taxed on. And on general insurance products, you could expect that premiums, at least by the close of the year, would increase. And you're seeing all this coming to pass. And these knock-on effects will happen particularly because, now again, a little more technical sense, I was addressed in such a way that you're extending or increasing the duration of the bank's assets, banks and insurance companies' assets. In other words, they got to wait longer to get money, to get fair value out of these investments they had in government.
So question for you. Hmm. You made a statement that suggested that the government's action was crappy. Is that accurate?
Right.
The choice of...
Right.
Right. And the
crappy compared to... compared
existing.
To what else they could have offered or what else they could have offered. I did not agree with, again, extending maturity, that is taking longer to pay people, waiting longer before you actually start to pay people, and paying people less on in terms of interest. I did not agree with that triple action. That is enough, given how liquid the system is, to actually cause a lack in confidence. Not necessarily that there's a new law, as was reported in Barbados to be, because that's not what I was intending to say, or I don't even remember or recall saying such. Okay. But what I would say is that with respect to debt instruments going forward, you would be hard-pressed to find any private sector entity that would invest as much as they would want to in terms of new debt issues, especially on things like T-bills. And T-bills being a very liquid form of investment is normally the go-to investment for government.
Tidying up your response. So you said that he responded. I'm not clear on what he responded because I didn't read that article. But you're now refuting that his comment was more schooling you in present value, time value, when you know very well about that. But what specifically, I noticed what you just shared in terms of the triple action, you don't agree with that. But what else would you like to respond to that the ambassador would have shared?
Well, to be clear then to the audience, also the fact that the NAS wouldn't be negatively affected that much by the restructuring. to be exact, let me read the part that I speak about before. The ambassador wishes to pursue matters in another light. So the part that was spoken to was the net impact on the NAS is about $800 million. That is how much the NAS will lose because of the restructuring, which is the equivalent to the debentures and treasury notes that the NAS was forced to take in settlement of arrears, which the previous administration and the state-owned enterprises owned the scheme. Fine. So then he goes on to say, and this is the part that I really have to challenge, the 15th actuarial report at page 25 shows that the sensitivity analysis confirms that the financial health of the NIS has not been compromised by the debt restructuring. But you just essentially said that they're going to lose $800 million. That's my response. Anyhow, the government's pension for persons under the age of 45 cannot be an issue as suggested by Mr. Stephen. And this is where no CNA depart entirely, because the actuarial report is on data that hasn't been settled. In other words, the latest annual report that the NIS has is at least 5 years old right now.
The latest published one. Maybe they have access to, unaudited statements, etc.
Even if you do, that means that it haven't passed the scrutiny of an accounting firm yet or an auditor in order for me to have confidence in what he's saying. So further to that, you had a case where for the last 3 or 4 years since the recession began, even if it were that the government was giving debt or adding debt onto the NAS, they would have been probably rolling over, or the NAS would have been forced to roll over this debt somehow, right?
Okay.
But the fact remains that the NAS was slower in its certain payments in terms of welfare, in terms of welfare in general, in terms of health. So, there's no way, just speaking to conjecture at this point too, because again, I don't want to run the risk of sounding as if I know more than I do, but rather there's a big suspicion in terms of the logic. If it is that the cash flows coming out of the NIS for the last few years are much lower than they were in previous years, one can say that they had cash flow issues to begin with. So if you restructure, and that is you are paying the NIS less in terms of cash value going forward, it does put the health of the NIS into further stress. Furthermore, the NIS is still required to hold on to a substantial, since the DLP had come into power, a substantial amount of local debt. That has not changed. So therefore, my view is that you're still going to place the NIS under further stress. This is why I made the comment that persons under the age of 45, that would fit yourself and myself, shouldn't be looking for a sustainable pension unless they're prepared to work well into our 70s. They will have to in time, because they've already raised the amount that you have to contribute, your contributions since they came in. You either have a mixture of that going forward into the future. If the NS was that secure, there would be no reason to have raised contributions at this time, number one. Number two, you would get a mix of both that and the extension before you can draw down on your public pension, public sector pension going forward. It will happen. And the funny thing is that globally, so Barbados is not the United States of America, globally, with the exception of two economies, and I'm not going to point to which economies they are, you've got social security crises. The United States of America has this, and they're taught globally about because of the amount of debt that social security systems and pension funds have taken on over the last, since the last recession, global recession ended in 2010. So the last 8 years, they've fulfilled so much debt that it is quite certain that persons will have to A, either retire later, or B, not get as much in terms of benefit. Now, that's a global phenomenon. Barbados is not absent from that trend. It can't be, especially on the local side, where we just had a restructuring that is major. $800 million is a major hit to the value of the NIS, no matter how they look at it. So that statement I had to refute entirely. And I await more information, more current information as presented by audited financial statements and an actuarial report based on audited financial statements going forward. I can't deal with that kind of conjecture, particularly knowing how debt refinancing has been handled in countries outside of Barbados, and particularly since we push maturities, not push maturities, push the payments of principal all the way back 4 years and whatnot. I know there are extra things we need to be very vigilant about, particularly going forward when people have a crisis of confidence with respect to investing in any future government paper. One would argue, I could hear somebody on brass tacks, no, that would argue, IMF money in, IADB money in. But that's not balance of payment support at best. So that's not going to filter into the local debt side anytime soon, in the way that you would imagine. It's not going to filter in just like that. So anyhow, it would mean that the government will require some form of financing going forward in order to keep up its expenditure, or the level of expenditure that is no maintaining.
Outside of the IMF?
Yeah, but that money is about, that's mainly going to be about the payment support, if anything. So, because the money comes in foreign exchange, you know. So, that's all people need to remember it.
Right, and you're speaking specifically to just IMF, but there are other multilateral donors that are going to be...
Right. And those are program-related.
Programs specific to budget.
So nobody's lending to pay salaries.
Right. So government
nobody's
still has
to pay salaries.
Government still has to ensure that it attracts the requisite revenue to pay salaries
and not print
any further monies.
Exactly. So my thing is that even if your requirements for financing falls in the future, you still would depend on the local debt side to still raise some form of money to go towards the current expenditure. So because of that, it'll be interesting given how this debt exchange was handled, mm-hmm. and the way that there was a lapse in communication before the actual exchange, that you would find commercial banks, unless they're required by law, and mm-hmm. insurance companies, unless they're required by law, would invest more than just the bare minimum going forward. It'll be very interesting
So, as we wrap up, I'm going to thank you for your call, because it wasn't just in response. I know you prefaced it by saying you're responding to the Goodley Ambassador, but you also shared a bit with us. And I would ask that persons like yourself continue to call the airwaves and share your perspectives. You don't necessarily have to always agree with the choices of the current administration, but you're putting your technical know-how out there, and you're sharing your perspective, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And even if you disagree with a person in the administration, there's absolutely nothing wrong with there being a back and forth and a response, so that the listeners can understand better the issues that come before them and benefit. Yeah. So thanks so much, Mr. Jeremy Stephen. This is Down to Brass Tacks.